go out into the world, we carry the image of God with us. So how we carry that is very important. And when someone doesn't work or is kept from working, then we could sense that we are somehow failing to do what it is that God has made them to do. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But in the basic principle of God making us to be people that serve him, if we're not working at that, then we're lacking something of that image that he made us in. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul writes this. He says, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Direct. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Now, Paul clearly isn't talking here about people who are unable to work, who are physically can't get a job. He's speaking about people and to people who have no desire to work, who want to do nothing. I'm sure we maybe can think of some people that fit into that category, that seem content just to sit back and let everyone else do things. See, God has made us to work, and that is what we should be doing. Working is a spiritual endeavor because it's directly related to who we are, to being made in the image of God. And so, if that's true, and I'm happy to hear from you if you disagree with me, but just from the moment, let's accept that that is true. Maybe we're left thinking, well, what am I supposed to be doing? What is my work supposed to be? Okay, I know that you're saying I'm supposed to work, but what am I supposed to do? What's my calling? And another word we might use for that is this word vocation. What is my vocation? And that word vocation comes from a Latin word, vocatio, which means to be called or a calling. And from a Christian perspective, I believe that God calls us to do something with our lives. And I hope that that's something all of us believe, that God calls us to do something purposeful and meaningful with our lives. And we can often hear people in church talk about trying to figure out, well, what am I called to? I'm not sure what God's calling me into. And I think one of the things that can happen is that we can get a little bit confused in what it means to be called. And when people are searching for that, we can often end up job surfing. We can go from job to job, career to career, trying to see if we can find our calling in that thing. We're trying to make a living at what we love, or we want to kind of love what makes a living for us. The fact of the matter is that that may not actually be possible. Those two things may not be the same. Now, that's probably not the most encouraging thing to hear, but I think it's true. And we can see often people that are wrestling backwards and forwards, sort of having this conversation. And in the passage we read, we get that too. We see exactly that as people that have come to hear what John the Baptist is saying. And they're wrestling with what it means to be called to, I mean, he calls them some interesting things, but he calls them to be active, to be people that work. John the Baptist himself is fulfilling his calling, and he really isn't making much to live on from it. Whether by choice or by scarcity, he lives on wild honey and insects. He wears camel's hair for clothes, and he sleeps out in the elements. That was in the job description, who's going to apply? Probably not. But his calling from birth has been to prepare the way for the Lord, to make people ready to meet Jesus. And one day, we read that after a particularly passionate sermon, people start coming forwards. People who work in jobs that most people in that society at the time, in Jewish society, would frown upon. These were people who were not respected because they held important jobs. We have the tax collector. And what we know is, not all, But often, many of them were, you could say, almost legalized robbers for the Romans. The Romans empowered them just to take money from people. And of course, the soldiers themselves, who were enforcing occupation of Israel by Rome. Not popular people, really, but doing a job. And John gives them an answer to their questions about what they should do. And there's also some unspoken answer here, I think, too. Above all, I think what he says is, your job is important. Whatever you're doing, it is important. And even if it doesn't feel like your calling, you shouldn't just quit it. That's not the answer, just to think, oh, well, this can't be what God's calling me to do. You shouldn't just quit it. He says, just because one man is a tax collector, that doesn't mean that's his calling. And just because one man is a centurion, that doesn't mean it's his calling. Just because maybe you work in the IT, or you work for a bank, or in sales, or in Tesco, whatever or wherever it is, that may not be your calling. But it doesn't mean that you should go and quit your job today. Okay? Please don't lay that on me this morning. Your calling, whatever it is that you are called to do, may not be the job that you do to earn your living. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So the first thing we need to do in our lives, as we seek to understand what God wants us to do, is try and discern what God is calling us to. What are those special gifts, those talents that we have that we can use to glorify God? To bring joy to other people, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we seek to do that, we should never underestimate the importance of the gift of time, of being called to use our time. Maybe that is our calling. Maybe that is your calling, that you have time that you can give in service to God, in service to others. There are so many opportunities. Even within this small community, there are so many opportunities where we could give time to volunteer in places. Maybe that's your calling. I could probably get Wendy to come up now and tell us all the things we could do in school to help out. But in other places too, where we could give time. Age isn't a hindrance either. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you feel like you've not found your calling. But age isn't a barrier to serving God. If we want to look at how old you've got to be to get to the end of your career as a servant of God, if we go into the Old Testament, we'll find some pretty impressive ages. So if you're thinking of retiring in the kingdom, you've got a long way to go yet. Your calling may not be your job. But what John says here is, when you're at your job, whatever that job is, you are called to do it and to live your life in a way that demonstrates who you are in God. To live out your faith. The advice that John gives really is this. He says, your work should be an extension of your faith and your worship and your relationship with God. So, if you collect money, just don't collect any more than you're supposed to. He tells the soldier, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Make sure that what you do as a job, you do in a way that reflects your image of God. If you're a person of faith, he says, be consistent with that faith. Whether you're at work or you're at home, be the same person you have been called to be. A I think perhaps one of the most common criticisms I've heard as a Christian of Christians in general by people is, well, they don't seem any different to the rest of us. That people can't see anything significant in us in public, in the places where we work, in those places where we engage. And that shouldn't be the truth. That shouldn't be the reality. People should see something remarkable in us. They should see the image of God in us, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24, it says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So that person that you work with, that office manager, your superior, your line manager, whoever it is, who right now you're thinking, whatever it might be, that person that can make your place of work difficult or uncomfortable or miserable. Really, we're being called to remember that actually above them and beyond them, we work for God. And that person might be really hard work and might make life challenging for us, but we need to look above them and look to who it is we're serving, who we're working for. You may have heard of an organization called the Gospel Coalition. They are an organization that seek to kind of try and help people better understand the gospel and how they believe it and better share it. And they regularly publish interviews with somebody who works in the secular world. They actually reach out, they find somebody who's not a Christian or is a Christian but works in a very secular situation. And the purpose of that interview is to show us and show the people reading these things how people are connecting their faith with what they do and where they work. And the interviews follow the same format all the time. The person is introduced and they describe what they do and they sort of discuss a little bit about what their job is. And then there are three questions that they are asked. And I'm going to invite you to think about these three questions within the context of the job that you do now. And then I want you to use these questions to kind of help you to narrow and focus how your job could be an extension of your faith and worship. It may not be what God is calling you to be, to do, but it is where you are. Is where he's got you right now. And if that's true, how do you make sure that you do that job in a way that demonstrates who you are in Christ and what you believe about God? I'm going to get these questions up on the screen in a minute, and I'm going to send them out through email so you can look at them through the week and the weeks ahead and just reflect on them, because I think they're really important questions. And at a time when we're trying to grasp what God's vision for us in 2020 and beyond is, we need to have clear questions that we can ask ourselves, that we can use in our prayer time, in our study time. These are the questions. As an image bearer of God, that's you. It's not somebody else, that's you. How does your work reflect some aspect of God's work? I don't expect you all to answer right now. I just want you to think about that. As an image bearer of God, maybe the only one in that place, maybe you are the only person in your office, in your school, in the factory, in wherever it is, who professes a faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you are the only deliberate image bearer of God's. How does your work reflect some aspect of God's work? Another question. How does your work give you a unique vantage point into the brokenness of the world? How does what you do and where you go every day help you to see the needs in the world that God wants us to respond to? Because I'm absolutely sure that for this fellowship, as we seek to understand God's vision, it's not just going to be about us. When we think about vision, it's looking out. It's not looking into us. It's looking out to what God wants us to do. And as we get a grasp of that vision that God wants for us, or has for us, he will be showing us elements of the brokenness of our world that we need to be part of fixing. And thirdly, Jesus commands us. He doesn't encourage us. He commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So how does your work function as an opportunity to love and serve others? Yes, you've got a job to do there, but beyond just the actual what you're paid to do, how does that job you have give you an opportunity to love people and serve others? Does it give you an opportunity to demonstrate the image of God and to love that very person who makes your workplace difficult? Excuse me. Those three questions I want to share with you. And I want, it's not my job to command you, I encourage you to look at them. Print them off maybe, stick them in your Bible so that when you're doing your prayer time, when you're thinking about what it is to be called, what it is to be made in the image of God, when you're thinking about why on earth you're driving to work again today, you can reflect on these questions. And instead of thinking, why God, you can think, how God? What do you want me to do in this place? I believe that if we can kind of bring our focus down a bit, narrow it down on our work in questions like this, then we will find a way to make sure that whatever we do in our work, we have a really healthy spiritual vision for it. An expectation that God will do good things through us and in us in our place of work. That we'll see that our faith and our work actually cross over and intersect. Each one of us is called into a relationship with God, and Scripture over and over again reminds us that he has purposed and planned for our lives, and he expects us to be deliberate about the way we live our lives. So, we're kind of discovering here at Bethel that email is no longer the most successful way of communicating with people. People don't, to me, email's still a relatively sort of thing, you know, I send them out all the time. But we're discovering that it's not. And certainly in younger generations, email's gone, it's history. It's all WhatsApp and all the rest of it. But I'm telling you, we are going to send you an email to the email address that we have in the system with these questions. Please open it, look at it, print it, keep it somewhere. 2020 vision is for the whole of this church, to every single person. It is not something that is going to be carried out by the leaders, but by a select group of people that are going to try and grasp that. And don't anticipate that God is going to send out some sort of lightning bolt of inspiration to just one person and the rest of us are going to follow. Understanding 2020 vision begins in us, each one of us, And God wants each one of us to participate in the process of knowing what he's calling us to. So, please, be part of this adventure. Be part of what God is calling us to do. And start that process in just reflecting on how we make sure that whatever we're doing right now, we do it in a way that glorifies God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving.